I believe I have a word from God for you this afternoon. God's been confirming it to my heart all day long. It's called the School of Submission. I hear some oohs. The School of Submission, not a popular school, but I stand on solid ground on the Word of God. And also my wife gave me permission to preach this. And before you guys get all happy and thinking you have a message that you're going to share with your wife because you want her to hear a message on submission, this is something for all of us. The truth is we're all called to appropriate the lessons of lowliness, to pursue a heart of humility, and to grow in this grace we call submission. Matthew 11:29 says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Take the yoke upon me, upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Now, this is not a popular school. It goes counter to culture. It goes counter to our very nature. We don't want to submit. We don't want to yield the right of way. Our culture tells us you're in the right. You have the right to defend yourself. You have the right to speak up. You have the right to get your way. And the Bible talks about submission to all of us, not just to wives and husbands. 1 Peter 2:13-14 says, "Submit to all the laws of man, all the ordinances of man for the Lord's sake, to the king, to the ruler, to the one that's over you in government, to the governors and to the law enforcers, those who are called to enforce the law." It doesn't go against God's will. It's not talking about those who want you to do something that goes contrary to the will of God. We know that in those cases, we are to obey God over man. But remember that this was in the day of Rome and an empire that was ungodly. Sometimes Christians think that they only have to obey the government when the government is following God. But when they're engulfed in a culture that's ungodly, we feel that we don't have to submit to authorities and we don't have to submit to those who rule over us. But that's not what God teaches us in the Bible. Some came to tempt Jesus and said, "Who should we obey, Caesar? Should we give our money to Caesar or obey God?" And he says, "Show me a coin." And he says, "Whose face is on it?" They said, "Caesar." He says, "Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God." He was teaching us that we could obey the rules of men and yet submit to God as well and honor God and honor the king as long as it doesn't go against God's established word. Amen? 1 Peter 2:18 talks about servants obeying their masters and submitting to their masters with reverence, not just to those who are gentle, but to those even who are harsh. And we're talking here about employers and people over us in the workplace, in the marketplace, in the job. Sometimes we feel that if they're harsh and they're acting in an ungodly way, that we don't have to submit to them. We begin to rebuke them. And how dare they touch God's anointed? I don't have to submit. Don't they know who they're talking to? But the Bible talks about not just to the gentle, but even to the harsh that don't even know how to lead in a godly way. Amen? The Bible in Hebrews 13:17 says, "Submit to your spiritual leaders, those who have rule over you, for they watch over your souls." And here we're talking about the ministry and the church and the body of Christ, those who rule over us, not lording over us, because the Bible teaches us not to lord over people, but who care for your soul, who shepherd over the flock, to submit to those in authority, spiritual authority over us. Ephesians 5:22-24 talks about wives submitting to husbands. Uh-oh. Now, husbands, before you get on this trip of having your wife call you Lord like Sarah called Abraham, let me ask you a question. Are you loving your wife as Christ loved the church? That he gave his life for the church? That he died for the church? When the church was not even worthy, when we were not worthy of his sacrifice, yet he gave himself. When we reviled him, when we mocked him, while we nailed him to the tree, he gave his life for us. Now, if you're a husband that's loving your wife like that, then I know your wife is free to submit to you. And I know you show me a husband that's loving the wife like Christ loved the church, and I'll show you a wife who has no problem with submitting to that man. You see, because the headship that it talks about is not about superiority. It doesn't mean that the man and the husband is superior to the wife. It means that we cover and we provide and we protect and we lead by example, and we have the responsibility to protect and guide and cherish this person that's our wife. 1 Peter 3:7 says, we're heirs together with our wives of the grace of life. Amen? We treat her with honor, like the fragile vessel that she is, the fine china that deserves the respect and the honor of something that's given to us as a gift from God. I hope you're hearing me, husbands. It's not about your superiority. We are not superior. We're one. Jesus was one with God, and yet he submitted to the will of the Father. He says, I didn't come to do my own will. I do the will of the Father. So he chose to submit to the will of his Father. But yet he says, I and the Father are one. So it's not that the Father is superior to the Son or the Son to the Spirit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's not about superiority. It's about a headship, a covering, a provision, a place of joy and a place of safety, a place of protection that God has planned for the household of faith. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents, submit to them in the Lord. 1 Peter 5:5 says, the younger, submit to the older. And it's almost like the apostle Peter thinks about what can happen and how people can take things so technical and get so technical. Wait a minute, you're older than me, so I have to submit to you. Wait a minute, I'm older than you. Now you have to submit to me because it's written in the Word. You understand? Wait a minute, I've been in Times Square Church so long. Yeah, who are you? I'm older in the faith. I've been saved more, so spiritually I'm older. And it's almost like he catches himself and he says, wait a minute, before you get all confused about this and get all technical and legalistic, and he says in the same verse, all of you be subject to one another. All of you submit to one another. Be clothed with humility. It's not about older, or it's about honoring one another. Amen? So we're all called to this school of submission, a school that's not popular, but it's the school of faith. It's the school of living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So this is the definition of submission, if you want to jot it down. Using my power and position for the benefit of others. In other words, instead of using my resources and my position and my power to get my own way, to make my life easier, I choose to use it instead to serve you and to benefit you. This is the school of submission, and that's why it's not popular, because the world tells us, look out for number one, and they're referring to yourself. Forget the others. If you have to step on whoever you have to step on, look out for yourself. And the Word of God is telling us, no, you prefer others better than yourselves. You look out for their needs, not for your own. Now, a sensitive subject. If you've been wounded or humiliated because of authorities in your life, if someone has taken advantage of you, abused their position and their leadership and their authority over you, whether it be in a church or in a relationship, they were overstepping their boundaries, lording over you. In other words, taking the place of the Lord in your life, telling you what to do, what you can't do, what you could do, exalting themselves over you and demeaning you at the same time, expecting you to follow but not leading by example. Let me tell you something this afternoon. They were wrong. This message is not justifying what they have done. There are people who have been abused under the guise of leadership and authority and spiritual submission. And they've been hurt. And I'm not discarding that. I'm not demeaning that. I'm speaking to you. But just because they missed it, just because they missed the mark completely and were wrong, it doesn't mean that you and I have to miss out on the glory of this grace called submission. It doesn't mean that we discard this discipline called submission altogether and we refuse to submit to authority just because we were hurt in the past. There's healing in the name of Jesus. There is restoration in the name of Jesus. And today, I just want to encourage you in this walk of faith. I want to invite you, just like he says, come to me, all who labor and who are heavy laden. You'll find rest for your soul. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. I want to just echo the invitation of Christ to this school of learning. First and foremost, where we learn faith in his sovereignty. That's point number one. We learn faith in his sovereignty. Sovereignty meaning he sees the big picture. He's over it all. He's got you. You may face a boss that's telling you what to do and they think they got you, but God's got you. God's got everything under control, and we can trust the one who is in charge over everything, over all, to have his way, and his ways are perfect. Amen? His ways are perfect. Matthew 26, 39, and Jesus went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Have you ever been there? Have you been in a place where you don't want to go, where you're being called to go, where you don't want to do what you don't even fully understand that you're called to do? But God is calling us to submit and say, "God, nevertheless, if this is your will, let it be done. Give me the power and the grace to do what you're calling me to do, because I acknowledge that your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts." He's got you. He's got you on this. He's working all things together after the counsel of his own will, Ephesians 1:11. He works all things together for the good to them that love God and called according to his purpose. That's Romans 8:28. Hey, but they could have asked me to do this in a better tone. They could have had a better attitude when they asked me to do this. Well, don't let their tone, it may be like a melody off key, don't let that deter you from hearing the gentle harmonic voice of God, the gentle, humble teacher that says, trust me that I got this. I'm sovereign. I hold the big picture. I see the big picture. You may not see it, but I see it. I know the outcome. I know the beginning from the end. 1 Peter 2:23 says, "Christ, when reviled, didn't revile back. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. He committed himself to him that judges righteously." When we're called to submit and we don't understand it, we may not even agree with it, we're called to submit to the one who sees the big picture, who's got everything under control, and to trust his sovereignty, to say, "God, I don't understand this. I'm going to submit, but you work it out for the glory of your name." Oh, but I disagree with their decisions. I disagree with how they're going about this. You've seen those trucks, and I've said it before here, let's say, if this vehicle is driving recklessly, please call such and such a number. Don't take it out with the driver. Don't try to cut the driver and rebuke the driver. You call that number. Take it to God. You disagree with how leadership is doing something. First and foremost, go to the one who's the boss, who owns the truck, who owns the driver. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's got your boss in your hand. He's got your husband in the hands. He's got your wife in the palm of his hand. He is the God who causes the king's heart to be like a river in his hands, and he causes it to go this way or that way, whatever he wills. That's Proverbs 21:1. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He's saying, trust me on this. Trust me. Don't take matters into your own hands. Come to me, and I will work it out for the glory of your name. I will give you wisdom. I'll give you grace. I'll give you the power even to submit when you need to submit. I remember years ago, my principal in the school started rearranging our assignments, and she did things that seemed so illogical that I can't even go into the details of how many people she changed their assignment. I had been a science teacher for years, and I was being trained in science. Science was the big baby in District 8 at that time, years ago, and they would send me to trainings. They invested a lot of money in training me for this science thing, and I would put on some science experiments for the kids. I was like a magician. Kids would be, "Whoa, wow," and then they would leave, and another group would come in, and it was like, "Whoa, wow," and I would just do the same thing with every group, and that was my job, and I felt like I was doing a good job, and all of a sudden, boom, she changes my assignment and puts me in the classroom with two grades, fifth and sixth grade, bilingual. So I had to teach everything, science, social studies, math, English, the works, in English and Spanish, and in fifth grade and sixth grade curriculum. It was bizarre. It was like overwhelming. And everybody was telling me, "You don't have to take this. You got seniority. You got tenure here. You can just demand your rights, and you could get out." They were handing me applications to do science training over there in the district. But there was a voice inside of me saying, I'm in control. Your boss is not in control. I'm in control. Can you trust my sovereignty? Can you trust my sovereignty? To make a long story short, he put me in the classroom for years. I was in the classroom with those fifth and sixth graders. So I saw them fifth grade, and then after they finished the fifth grade, they were still with me. So these kids were with me 2 years in a row. Their brothers and sisters who were in the fourth grade would now join me in the fifth grade, and I would have them 2 years in a row. I would see them graduate from the school. I wept tears. I visited hospitals. I went to courts to defend kids in my classroom. I spoke to them one-on-one about God and the faithfulness of God. God was fashioning my heart. God was doing something that I wasn't going to be able to do with those science experiments, just a class and doing the magic show and letting them leave. And God wanted to fashion my heart into his heart. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I couldn't see the big picture, but God saw it. And God was calling me to surrender and submit and trust his sovereignty, or even over my authorities. Amen. So I can submit to you because I know Christ is over you. And I could submit to the leadership because I know Christ is over them, and Christ is over me, and Christ gives me the power to walk in his submission, to walk in the power of his submission. It's not something I do, it's something that I become. I become more like Christ. Christ in me enables me to submit, to be more like him. Amen. John 19:10 and 11 says, well, basically this is what happens in John 19:10 and 11. Pilate tells Jesus, don't you know I have the power to crucify you? Don't you know I have the power to release you if I wanted to? And you know the story. You know what Jesus says. He says, you know, any power that you have has been given to you by God. You have no power over me unless it's given to you by God. So, and he submitted. He submitted to the obedience of the cross. And that's the reason why you and I are here saved this afternoon. Because of submission. Because of the submission of our Savior. So, submission. In this school of submission, we learn to have faith in his sovereignty. The one who's over all, who sees the big picture, and who's got us in the palm of his hand. Secondly, in this school of submission, we learn to follow in his steps. John 13:14 and 15 says, if I then, this was right after Jesus washed the disciples' feet, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And I want to suggest to you this afternoon that Christ-likeness becomes a witness to the world. He's not just calling us to surrender and submit to one another for surrender's sake. It's a witness. It's a witness of Christ. It's the life of Christ being displayed and demonstrated before humanity that has no idea what this submission thing is all about. They equate it with weakness. They equate it with failure. They equate it with littleness. And Jesus equates it with greatness, with power, with strength. Here we are, the disciples, arguing amongst themselves, who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to sit at his right? Who's going to sit at his left? They're bickering. Well, he came to me first. Well, he came to you because I went over there to tell you that the Messiah was here. And they're all talking about who's the greatest. And he comes and he takes up the towel and he takes the basin and he gets on his, and he begins to wash their feet. And he says, listen, guys, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, it's the way of submission. It's the way of humility. It's the way of servanthood. And that blows their mind. They can't even understand this concept of submission. So it's not just for your sake and my benefit that we submit. It's for those who will come to know Christ through our very example and through the testimony of Christ in me. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And verse 7 says that he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. And you know the rest of the passage, that he was obedient unto the cross. But sometimes we forget verse 15 in that same passage, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So our submission is light in the midst of darkness. They don't understand it. They can't understand when you take something back that they didn't register and the cash register, and they missed it, and you come back, and there's a line of people, and you say, listen, you didn't charge me for this. I was supposed to pay for this. And they're like, what are you talking about? Just start the car, honey, and get out of here. You saved yourself so much money. Why are you going to come back and submit to the laws of the land? But it's a testimony to the cashier. It's a testimony to the people online. It's a testimony to the glory of God. That you could be honest, that you could trust God, and that you could follow in his footsteps. Our submission in 1 Peter 2:15 says our submission will put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. You're going to silence people that think this religion thing is all just a hype, you know? All of a sudden they see somebody walking in humility, in righteousness, in submission, in servanthood, even when the boss is not there. Silence again. You know the story. When the boss is not there, everybody walks kind of like in a different, wow, hey, relax, relax. The chief's not here. You know, you could take it easy. And they're just serving, but to please man. They serve and they do the right thing and they're all active because the boss is watching. But when the boss is not watching, that's where the Christian shines. You can say amen anytime you want to. I won't hold it against you. It says in 1 Peter 3:1 that the submission of the wife can win the soul of her husband without even a word, without preaching to him, without banging him on the head with the Bible, but just by their conduct, just by their conversation, just by their demeanor and their submission, it could win the unbelieving spouse to the Lord. Amen? So, we follow in his footsteps, and being like Christ becomes a witness to the world. Years ago, and I've probably shared this story also as well from this pulpit, I was invited by Pastor Teresa, I think, to go to Cuba to translate for Pastor Carter. Wow, when I got that phone call, when they spoke to me, I don't remember how it was, if it was in person or over by phone, I was like, yes, this is God. Whoa, what an opportunity. Translate for Pastor Carter. That's amazing. That's awesome. This is of God. I thought in my mind, this is of God. But I told the church, I said, first I have to speak to my boss, see if she gives me a couple of days to take. So I went with assurance. I said, this is God, you know? How could it not be God? You know, this is a chance of a lifetime. Translate for Pastor Carter. Yeah. Woo. Watch out, Cuba. Here I come. And my principal said no. Again, every voice around me said, go. You got the days. You got plenty of days accumulated. You can take the day. You're in your right to go. But there was a voice inside my heart. What can I tell you? If the Spirit is in you, he will call you. He will woo you to what's right. And he begins to speak to me and says, just submit. Submit and trust God. Follow in the footsteps of Christ. And it will open up a door. Trust God. So I submitted. I didn't go. I went later on during my vacation time. And I actually brought her a souvenir. And when I did bring her a souvenir and I gave it to her in the morning, she invited me into her office. And that was strange. Come into my office. And she began to open up her heart to me. And say, you know what? When I travel, I see the poor and I see the disadvantage. And I tell my husband, she says, I tell my husband, we should do something about this, you know? So she started asking me, what does our church do when we go on these mission trips? And I'm able to witness to my boss who didn't let me go to Cuba the first time, but it opened up a door. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Only God could have done that. What testimony would have I given her if I had just gone in my own, you know, said, you know what, later for you, what do you think? I'm a child of God, I'm an ambassador of the King. I've been called to preach to the Cubans. But yet, he's called us to preach to that boss. Man, some of us are going to missions trips and our husband's saying, don't go, and we're going. We're saying, I'm a child of God, no husband's gonna keep me back. Now, I don't know any of your situations. I'm just speculating that that could happen in the body of Christ somewhere. Or the other way around, you know. husband doing something. The wife said, why don't you just stay home? I got so much to do. And no, we're busy saving the world. But we're not there for our wife and our kids. Oh, God. Let me get to my last point. In the school of submission, we learn to fight in his strength. Not just to have faith in his sovereignty. Not just to follow in his footsteps. But also to fight in his strength. James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Everybody say, submit. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Oh, we like that part of the verse. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. But you see, the enemy flees because of who he sees. The enemy doesn't flee because he sees me. He flees because he sees Christ over me. He sees the Christ behind me and in front of me and all around me. He sees the Christ in me. And that Christ that rises up, he rises up because I submit to him. And when you choose to submit yourself to God, there you can resist the devil and he will flee. And be sure that he will flee from you because he's fleeing from the Christ in you. Amen? Remember, Satan fell because he exalted himself. This is in his nature. He rebelled against God. He refused to submit to God. And he tempts us to do the same. He wants to lead us in the same spirit of rebellion. Don't submit to him. You've been in church longer than they have. Who do they think they are? The brothers of Joseph. Who does he think he is that he's so young and he's going to tell you that you're all going to bow down to him? What does he think he is? And the enemy would love to lead us in that rebellion against authority, against those who God has placed. God has placed them there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Remember King David. David, when he was anointed to be the next king, there was still another king there, King Saul. And yet he considered him the anointed of God, and he dared not even touch the hem of his garment. He was smitten to the heart when he cut off a piece of his garment. He was smitten because he knew he had offended the one that God had placed in authority. And he was there in authority until God was going to remove him. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So, when we choose to submit to God, God gives us grace. He says he gives grace to the humble. So when we humble ourselves, God gives us a grace to even fight the powers that come against us. And I'm not talking about your boss or your wife. I'm talking about the powers that want to overwhelm your soul, that want to overwhelm your life and stir you in the wrong direction. I believe that young David, as he played the harp for King Saul, And the spirit of that, the evil spirit would flee from King Saul. It wasn't because of the melody. It wasn't because of the harmony. It wasn't because he was so gifted in playing the harp. I mean, God used his gifts. Amen to that. And praise God for the music that's consecrated and given to God. But I believe it was the life of David, the life that submitted. He wasn't just singing about being under the shelter of the Almighty. He wasn't just singing about the Almighty wings of covering and grace, the secret place of the... He was singing the songs, but he was living the life. He was submitting to his dad. He was submitting to the authorities in his life. He was submitting to the Lord and the Lord's will for his life. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Man, and the devil could not stay on King Saul. It had to flee because there was a man walking in submission to the will of God. You remember in Acts 19, the seven sons of Sceva, they say, I adjure you, they were exorcists. They were trying to rebuke the devils in the name of Jesus, the Jesus that Peter preaches, that Paul preaches. We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. But the problem is they weren't subjected to Christ. They weren't submitting to Jesus. And they weren't submitting to the preaching of Paul. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And the demons ended up beating them up and leaving them ashamed and naked. When I went to Russia the last time years ago, I was going as just one of the team. And I was glad to be one of the team. I was like, oh, thank you. We have a leader. We have a... I'm just going to follow and I'm going to submit. I'm going to do whatever they call me to do. And the day before the trip, the day of the trip, it was Sunday, we were packing bags and everything. Bettina tells me, David, another camp opened up in Russia and we need you to be a leader of a team. And everything within me said, no, please, God, no. Let this cup pass away from me. I just wanted to follow. Listen to me. I just wanted to follow. And God called me to lead. And it took submission to lead. You see, Some of you may be running from what God has for you, a position of leadership, a position of authority, and you're leaving because you're running away, like Jonah ran away from the call to Nineveh. You're running from God, and God is saying, I want you to submit. You're putting every excuse. You can't do it. You were not trained. You've been hurt before. You've gone through this and that. It didn't work one time where you, and God's calling you into something, maybe even ministry, and you're saying no to God, and God is calling you to submit so that you could lead. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If that's you, this message is for you, my friend. Listen carefully. When I went to Russia, I submitted to that call to lead. I didn't know what I was doing. I hadn't been trained as a leader. I had just been trained to follow along and do whatever the leader tells me to do. Now I was called to lead. My friend, God came through. There was a breakthrough in that camp, and God established his authority in that camp and presented a contrast between the works of darkness and the works of light. Amen? So God came through as I submitted even to go about leadership. Have you been losing battles? Maybe you've been rebuking the enemy and resisting the enemy, but it's been God all along resisting you and resisting your pride and fighting against you because you don't want to submit to God's ways. You don't want to submit to God's rule over your life. And the message for you is listen, submit yourselves to God, and then you will be victorious in your spiritual warfare. Because our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God. And some of you have probably been fighting in the flesh and taking up the sword like Peter did and trying to slice some heads off. And God is saying, put that sword back in its sheath and let me fight the battles for you. I want to bring rest to your soul. You're trying to do this in your own strength. Would you stand with me this afternoon? I have a threefold call for the brothers and sisters here and my friends in the house this afternoon. Number one, if you've been truant as the musicians come and lead us in worship, if you've been playing hooky and avoiding this school of submission, you haven't been in attendance lately, maybe avoiding connecting with the body because you have an issue with this thing called submission. Maybe you were sat down one time from ministry and you took it hardly. You took it, it was hard on you. Maybe you were denied the entrance or joining a certain ministry and you said, how dare they? How could they reject me? Don't they see God's anointing on my life? Don't they see I was called to this? And you're still carrying this wound and you're still probably fearful of being taken advantage of, and you have an issue. So you've been withdrawing from that issue of submission and getting connected in the body and fellowshipping with the body and becoming part of a ministry. If that's you, please come, come. God wants to do a work in your heart this afternoon of healing. He wants you to find that rest, find that joy of serving God and serving your brethren. There's a place of honor for you in the house of God. He sees you, he loves you. You're not a second-class Christian. I don't care what anybody has said to you in the past. You are beloved in the sight of Christ, and he loves you with an everlasting love, and he has a special place for you in the body of Christ. If that's you, you've been avoiding, you've been running, you've been thinking, man, I'm just going to withdraw myself little by little from the house of God. I don't want to get connected to the house. If you've been truant to this school of submission, please come, and we will pray for healing in your life. Secondly, if you've been trusting your own reasoning, leaning on your own understanding, instead of trusting his sovereignty, that he has you in the palm of his hand. He has everything under control. You've been seeing things get out of control, and you've been trying to control it in your own strength, but God is saying, can you trust me now? Can you trust that I'm in control? Bring it to me. Bring your offenses to me. Trust that I've got you, and I'm going to bring something beautiful out of this situation that you're in. And lastly, if you're tired, you're tired this afternoon. You're tired of fighting in your own strength. Tired of the power struggles on the job. Tired of this power struggle and the arguing in the house, in the marriage, in the relationships. Tired of trying to be the one with the last word. Tired of trying to work out your own righteousness through your own works. And tired of that. And Jesus is saying, come, submit to me. I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you such a freedom, such a joy to praise me, to worship me, to serve me, to live in the body of Christ in freedom. If that's you, if you're tired, you're just saying, God, I can't go on one more day with this load on my shoulders. I invite you to come to this altar this afternoon. Lay it down. Lay it down as we sing praises unto God. Raise your hands. Submit to God. Say, God, I'm going to surrender to your way. I don't understand it all. I don't understand why they're calling me to do this and how they're going about it. But God, I'm going to submit to your authority. You've got my life in the palm of your hand. If that's you, I want you to come this afternoon and God is going to do something powerful in your life. You will be a testimony to this generation. You will be a light in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. You will be light in the midst of darkness, salt that gives savor in the workplace and in the family. Come, come, and God's going to do something marvelous in your life. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Listen, my friends. You don't need an entrance exam to get into this school. You don't need to pass a certain test. All the expenses have been paid for you and I on Calvary. He paid the price. He made provision for the tuition, the text, the training. God's got us. He will lead us. He will guide us. He will fashion and form His heart in our life, if we're yielding, if we're willing to just join, voluntarily join and say, God, yes, I don't even know how to submit. I don't feel like submitting, but God, I know you give grace and power. So I humble myself to you. Let my life be a testimony to your name. Let my life be a witness to this generation that you are good and you're worthy to be praised. You're worthy of our surrender. You're worthy of our submission, worthy of our humility. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. I pray you just give us the grace that we need. If it's healing for past wounds, if it's overcoming, dear God, the words that were spoken over us from people in authority that made us feel like second-class Christians, oh God, I pray you rebuke the devourer. And God, out of this, you bring out strength and power and might in the Holy Ghost to be able to submit, to walk as a servant, to walk, dear God, preferring others above ourselves. Give us the grace to walk in unity in the body of Christ. Protect Times Square Church, dear God, from pride. Protect us from self-righteousness. Protect us from haughtiness. Protect us from strife and division. Oh, God, protect us. Protect us. Protect our hearts and minds. Father, I pray for dads and husbands. I pray that you heal their marriages. I pray for wives and mothers. I pray, dear God, that you give us the grace to lead by example, that our children would see something different in mommy and daddy. They would see a humble spirit. They would see a lowly spirit. They would see Christ in daddy and mommy. God, I pray that you work miracles in the marriages in this house. God, I pray you do what only you can do, God. And we just yield to you as best as we know how. We say, yes, Lord. We say, yes, Lord. Come, come, Lord, and have your way. And Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name.